All right, well, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, The Right Side Way. As always, my thoughts that coalesce into an opening monologue. And apparently today is International Men's Day. Great. I just found out this morning. I never heard of this. International Men's Day. Just like that. I can sense that a whole bunch of male versions of Right Side Ruffians are asking, well, what do I get? Do I get a day off? No. Can I skip mowing the grass? Nuh-uh. Will somebody grill me a steak? Sure, if you pay for it. Well, I say phooey. Look, International Men's Day needs to have manly man stuff. Bring on the gifts. Tell the jesters they must make me laugh. Let there be feasting and merriment. I shall have mutton and tankards of ale. Or what's more likely, let's just go about our days doing all the things we usually do. All the stuff that it takes to be a manly man in today's weird world. Look, I'm going to step out into a politically incorrect place here, but, you know, what's new, right? There is a war on manhood in America right now. The left is out for manhood. The idea that it's okay for men to compete in women's sports is somehow celebrated when, in fact, it's both disgusting and embarrassing. The U.S. military, they say that recruiting failures are because only 23% of American men are even fit to enlist in the military. It's a very small percentage. The war on manhood was actually already underway, and then Dylan Mulvaney showed up on, of all places, a Bud Light can. The fact that a biological male, by the way, can be applauded as an influencer for prancing on video and celebrating his 365 days to girlhood is a clear indication that something has gone awry. The left is trying desperately to enshrine the beta male as the role model for a civilized society, and I say hogwash. So let me just pause and reaffirm what many of you, hopefully all of you, already know. Men are men. From the time they were born, men are biologically, mentally, and emotionally different than women. It's real. It's important. It's just plain okay, by the way. I'm reminded that Scripture tells us that God made man in his own image. He made men first from the dust of the earth. When God created the earth, there was only one thing that he saw and said that it was not good, and that was that man was alone, so then he created women from Adam's rib. We're all precious in the eyes of God, his own creation, made with good intention by a God who does not make mistakes. But he did create us differently, and he absolutely, 100%, created men to be men. I read a book a while back. It's a small book by best-selling author Stephen Pressfield called The Warrior Ethos, and I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute, but I got to tell you, Stephen Pressfield is actually one of my favorite authors in general. He wrote the epic historical novel called Gates of Fire. If you haven't read it, you've got to. Gates of Fire, it's about the 300 Spartans who stood in the face of overwhelming odds against the mighty Persian army. That book is up on the Right Side recommended reading list at rightsidemedia.org. It's often seen, by the way, as a mandatory reading in military circles. It takes a fictionalized view of the true tale of men who staved off overwhelming odds, the men of ancient Sparta, a warrior class who knew that their role was to be men and to stand in the gap. Legend says that when a Spartan man left for battle, that either his mother or his wife, one or the other, would present him with his own shield. And they would say to him, "This is your shield. Come back with it or come back on it." Many today have heard about the Battle of the Spartans, but how many of you know that those 300 men that I'm talking about in the book Gates of Fire, how many of the 300 men that actually stood in that narrow pass called the Hot Gates at a place called Thermopylae, how many know that 300 men changed the whole world? 300 men. 300 men against a million-man Persian army led by King Xerxes. And those 300 men stopped that invading army in its tracks for days. They were finally defeated, but their fight at the Hot Gates is what galvanized the Greeks to band together and become a nation. And that Greek nation eventually defeated the Persians and drove them out. And that Greek nation, by the way, is the foundation of the modern Western world. That Greek nation gave us demos kratos, which means people rule, from which we get the modern word democracy. If you think about it, 2 weeks ago, you voted because of 300 men who stood in the gap and birthed democracy. Now, carry that through to modern history, and time and again, you're going to find that men do what men do, right? What God made them to do, why God made them. But that other book I told you about by Stephen Pressfield was a nonfiction. In the other book, The Warrior Ethos, Pressfield takes a chapter at a time to describe such politically incorrect things in detail as duty, honor, country, having a sense of humor under fire, having the essence of courage, having a sense of civility and love from a position of strength, or providing aid and support to the weak while emboldening others to stand. Pressfield talks about things like inner wars and outer wars and how to train up young men to be old warriors. And these attitudes, these character traits, if you will, many of which are learned behaviors, are not just for soldiers. They are truthfully not just for men. If you get down to it, women can have undaunted courage. Women can face crises with grace and poise. I'm married to a woman like that. I help raise a woman like that. My son is like that. He married a woman like that. But today I'm talking to men because that's what I know. So understand me when I say this. I'm not saying that unless you can tote a gun or lift heavy weights or wear your hair in a conservative fashion that you're not masculine. True masculinity is not defined solely by your age, your status, or your outward appearance. It's a compilation of more esoteric things like character, the warrior ethos, work ethic, care and concern for others, self-sacrifice, courage. Sometimes it's the little things like standing up to bullies, like speaking out for your beliefs. Sometimes manhood is things like sacrificing a little bit of your me time to play with your child, or opening the door for your wife, like paying your employees before you pay yourself, or like checking on a friend in need. Again, don't confuse this monologue today with some kind of preconceived notion of the poster boy for true masculinity. You don't have to be the Marlboro Man. You don't have to be a member of SEAL Team 6. You don't have to be somebody who knows how to spit dip without getting it on your shirt. You can be rough without losing your civility. You can have calloused hands and still wear a tie to work every day. You can be a father, sometimes even separated from your kids, and still be a dad to them. It's true. The attitude of roughness and masculinity is often embodied in a mental picture of harsh ruggedness. George Orwell said, "People sleep peacefully in their beds at night because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf." And yes, they do. And the world needs men. The world needs rough men. But it may surprise you that not every rough man is rough. It may surprise you they don't always have to look like a movie character, like a scene from a tough guy flick. In my day, I've known a lot of dudes, a lot of action guys, operators, members of America's elite special operations, first responders, dudes with grit and determination. A lot of them, by the way, did not fit the visual stereotypical mold. Even in the Bible, when he was preparing to crown the future king of Israel, Samuel was taken aback that it would be David, a small guy, the least among his family and the least among the tribes. But God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, "The Lord sees not as a man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So yeah, the bottom line is, I don't care if you've never earned a medal. I don't care if you haven't got a penny to your name. I don't care if you have a physical disability that limits your capabilities to do things. I don't care if you've made mistakes in your past. I don't care about any of that. And by the way, God doesn't either. Hear me when I say the society will be better off if men act like men, with a sense of masculinity that goes beyond their outward appearance. And if they do, it will definitely resonate to everyone around them. Conservative Christian commentator Ali Beth Stuckey, she wrote a piece on manhood a few years ago. It's a great work. She said, here's her quote. She said, quote, "The growing problem in today's society is not that men are too masculine. It's that they're not masculine enough." Stuckey pointed out that when men embrace their masculinity in a way that is healthy and productive, they are leaders and warriors and heroes. And when they deny their masculinity, they run away from responsibilities. They leave destruction and despair in their wake. And she ended by saying, "It's not masculinity that's toxic. It's the lack of it." So buck up, men. Remember, you were made in the image of Almighty God, the God of the angel armies. So be the man. And by the way, happy International Men's Day. Let the feasting begin. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Weighing.